Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network alongside Carlos Ortiz, who I believe did something that he's never done before yesterday. I will ask him about that in a moment. What a fun weekend it was, really. You had a lot of good baseball. I always got to mention the baseball. Hockey, got to mention the hockey. WNBA draft tonight, Paige Bueckers, number one. And you had the NBA come to its regular season conclusion. So tomorrow, we're going to have some play-in games. Tomorrow, we're going to have the 7 and 8 seeds playing each other. The winner of those games will then be the 7 seed. And then the loser of those games will then play the winner of the 9 versus 10 on Friday. So it's at the same time, it's a little more confusing than it needs to be. It makes sense, but I think a lot of us, our brains still default to like 7 plays 10 and then 8 plays 9, but that's not what they're playing for. It's not that kind of a bracket. They're trying to figure out who the seeds are going to be. And it was exciting, the regular season conclusion, especially the game that ended last between the Warriors and Rockets, because they were trying to avoid the play-in, which the Clippers did, because that's who they played, not the Rockets, just testing you. But then the Warriors, being the 7th seed, now they've got to play the Grizzlies. And like on some years, so if we only had 8 teams make the playoffs, the West would not have been as exciting. They would have jockeyed for position a little bit. But the 8th-seeded Grizzlies were 8 games better than the 9th-seeded Kings. So there would have been no race there. We would have known the 8 teams for about 3 weeks. And it would just been a matter of, well, who wants to avoid the Thunder or the Lakers? Or do you want to play the Nuggets? And that kind of jockeying stuff. In the East, it would have been a lot different, because the Magic and the Hawks and the Bulls, seed 7, 8, 9, all finished within 2 games of each other. And then the Heat, really, too, were just a couple of games back as well. So that could have been a lot more exciting in terms of who was going to get in. I think I say that a lot, in terms of who was going to get in 7 or 8 and then miss the playoffs completely. Now, the Bulls, 39-43 for like the... Come on. That's not really their record, is it? Oh, my God. So... At the beginning of the year, I always say that the Bulls are the most mediocre team to ever exist. Have they finished 39-43?
Feels okay, like so the last 5 years.
A couple years ago, it was 40-42. This year, it's 39-43. Last year, it was 39-43. Yeah. Their best season was a few years ago. They were 46-36. And then they had some losing seasons. Back in 17, they were 41-41, 42-40. I mean, it's always the same. So play-in tournaments kicking up tomorrow. Wednesday will be the 9-10 matchups. And then we figure out who the 8 seeds are on Friday. So we will be watching that together. By the time we get on air tomorrow, we should know who's going to be the 7 between the Hawks and the Magic. And then that Memphis-Golden State game will be tipping off in about 24 hours' time. So that'll be very exciting, very eager to see how that gets sorted out. Today has been like a needed day of a breather, not just for the NBA regular season coming to a close, and it's like, all right, let's focus up for the playoffs. But I think more people got together in front of their TVs and watched a sporting event. It peaked around 20 million. When Rory McIlroy finally completed the career Grand Slam, winning every major at some point in his career, although it's his first major since 2014 and the first time he's won the Masters, which seemed to be very evasive from him, and it was more evasive as the tournament went on. He choked and rallied probably 3 separate times just on Sunday alone. And Carlos, I got a text from you at one point. Was this the first time you like ever laid your eyes on a golf event ever?
ever in my life. I tuned in to the, I think I woke up right as the 17th was being played. So just in time for the 18th hole in the playoff.
Because I was driving around Saturday. I heard you do an update. You sounded like you were saying a foreign language, telling all these scores.
I mean, fake it till you make it. I mean, it's the first. I've spent more time talking about golf on Saturday than I have my entire life combined. I think I sounded like I knew what I was talking about, but, you know, I got to do a job. And that was my job that day.
I think it did come across very well. It's just me knowing that you are not a golf aficionado or
that's
even fan.
That's understanding.
Or even like it or even tolerate it. It was funny to hear you reading that. So did you enjoy it? How much did you watch? You said you woke up in the 17th hole?
Yeah, I woke up in the 17th hole. I actually watched the whole thing. I watched until Rory got his green jacket.
Oh, so you watched like all the celebration.
I watched everything. And it was such a weird dynamic because my wife, who also will not acknowledge the existence of golf, I'm explaining to her how things work in terms of like the scoring, what these guys are doing, what like how Rory choked at the 18th, why they're playing a playoff hole. And it sounded like, again, after just one update shift of doing golf scores, that I knew exactly what I was talking about. And she's like, I understand what you're saying. I don't care, but that's fascinating. And she also liked that Rory won the jacket because, you know, she's all about underdogs and all that. So, yeah, it was a I can see why people get into it. I still will not. But at least I acknowledge that golf is on the table.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, I there's some things I don't get into as much as other people. Like tennis. I can't watch a tennis tournament if you pay me to do it. Okay? It doesn't click to me. I don't like it. It just does not click to me. It's like Game of Thrones. People love Game of Thrones. I can't do it. It's just for whatever reason, that did not click to me. I think anything with dragons, I'm kind of anti. I've never really liked dragons for whatever reason. But tennis is that way. Golf, I totally get into. I watched most of it on Thursday and Friday. Saturday caught a good amount of it. And then Sunday basically just watched the whole thing. I took my kid over to one of his buddies' house. And the dad's like, are you guys coming over? What are we doing? Because we were trying to figure it out. And I go, I'll come over, but you have to let me lay on the couch and watch golf all day. And he goes, yeah, of course. But then I think he's not like you, where he has like never seen it before. But he it's probably the most golf he's ever watched in a row in his life, and I think he enjoyed it. I mean, it was very much a made for TV way for somebody to win the Masters, and not just somebody, but this specific person. So Rory, 10 years ago, 12 years ago. When he burst onto the scene, and, you know, this is the time where Tiger's huge, but maybe getting older, and golf needs more faces, and Rory is suddenly a likable, young, affable man, and he's winning championships. And then he didn't for a long, long time, and the Masters being the last one, and the Masters being really the most important one, I think, to a lot of these guys. And kudos on the Masters for how they've been able to establish themselves as the premier tournament. It also helps that this is where they play. You know, the U.S. Open changes, the British changes, the PGA Championship changes, and there's other events that are played at the same place every year, but the Masters is the one locked in major, and of course it's early spring, and a lot of the country's still thawing out, and we get to see this beautiful golf course and the history that goes with it and all the legends that have played there when they were really like using sticks and twigs as drivers. I mean, it's been around forever, and it took a while for the Masters to be like, yeah, you guys all can golf here, actually, but we've gotten to a point where that's better, and it's still very old-timey in its prices, and it's old-timey in its language, and it's old-timey in the fact that they don't let you bring a phone in there. So if it felt like you were watching something and you couldn't quite place it, like, why is this different? What about watching this is different? When I see the crowd and they're all euphoric for Rory, what about it is different? Oh, nobody's got their phones. Because it would have been like, look, I understand wanting to have the phone and capture the memory and then share it. But if you're not there, it looks worse for us watching. When you watch a concert and everybody's got their phone out, it's not as aesthetically as good. When you are watching the golf and everybody cheers at the same time instead of like holds up their phone, it just aesthetically was better. So an old-timey rule on an old-timey course with a new champion in Rory McIlroy. You can't bring your phone in. You can bring, there's pay phones there, and you can bring cameras if you want a picture. A lot of attention being given to Ken Griffey Jr., who, like Randy Johnson post-playing career, got into photography. And some of the circulating images today of Rory are taken by Ken Griffey Jr. Yes, that Ken Griffey Jr. And I want to say something slightly controversial. I'm not sure if Ken Griffey Jr. is that great of a photographer, because I think anyone could have just pointed and clicked and got the same pictures as him. I could have not said that. I don't know why I have to be the Buzz Killington around here, but I just keep seeing people say, wow, what a great picture by Ken Griffey Jr. I mean, he just took the picture.
Yeah, I could have taken it. I mean, it's a great picture. You know, it's him folding over in emotion. But again, anybody standing at that spot with the camera pointed in that direction at the moment that everyone's focused on, it's hard to mess that picture up.
Is that something I should have kept to myself?
I think that was the lead. You buried it.
Yeah, I did. I still got it in the first segment, so that's good. But this was a made-for-TV sort of thing for all those other reasons and the beauty of it and, you know, the pageantry and the romanticism and everything. But the play itself, where it's Rory versus Bryson, but really Rory versus Rory. I mean, this was Rory who had a weird tournament up to this point, because in round one, he was cruising. And then he completely blew up at the end for a 72. All right. Even par. And then on round two, he was a beast right out of the bat, finished with a 66, six under. Round three, the same thing. And now Rory goes to bed on Sunday night with a two-stroke lead. And you're thinking, if you're Rory, you're thinking, I could wake up and tomorrow, the thing I've visualized every time I've been here, but really every offseason and really any tournament I'm ever at, I visualize putting on that green jacket. That's what I visualize. I visualize walking into the champion's locker room. I visualize being interviewed in Butler Cabin. I visualize all this stuff. But now you have to go out there and do it. And then right away on hole number one, a double bogey, a six on a par four. Because there was that level of, I think, curiosity from a lot of us where we were watching Rory. I think for the most part, people were cheering him on. There might have been a detractor here or there for attention, but I don't think anybody was rooting against Rory or rooting for him to choke outside of maybe you bet on Bryson or something like that. But I think most golf fans just wanted to see Rory McIlroy win, but you also knew at some point he was going to choke. That was baked in. It was baked in that Rory at some point was going to choke, and then he choked right away. I think that has to be part of the story. I know sometimes people don't like the word choke. It's, you know, a little violent in terms of, okay, I just, you know, didn't do as well as I should have. But if he did not win on Sunday, this would have been an all-timer, and there were a bunch of different things that you could have pointed to. But he regrouped pretty quickly, got those two-stroke backs by the fifth hole, and then Bryson DeChambeau started playing worse. And other guys weren't really there at that point. And guys charged up a little bit later. Patrick Reed had a nice back nine. Justin Rose obviously had a 66 on the day and got into the playoff. But Rory had settled things out where for a while he was up like, I think, four strokes. And he was looking pretty good. And then on hole 13, maybe one of the worst shots of his life with a double bogey. But then he had like two of the best shots of his life. Regrouping on 15, regrouping on 17. His back nine ended up being birdie, bogey, par, double bogey, bogey, birdie, par, birdie. And then on 18, he had not an easy putt. None of these are easy. But he had a very makeable putt to win the Masters on 18, and he missed that. So then you're watching golf this whole day, and you're like, okay, Rory, just get me to the finish line. I want to see you be triumphant. And he misses that. Then he goes to a playoff, and all of a sudden, Justin Rose, who's like one of his buddies, Ryder Cup teammate, who we had not really seen much of throughout the day. CBS basically was like, this is the Rory McIlroy show. We'll show other shots when they're relevant. We'll show other shots when they're important. But the Sunday plan of coverage was people are tuning in for Rory. We're assuring Rory. Essentially, the Tiger Woods treatment on a guy that was not Tiger Woods. But that's why we were tuned in. That's why it averaged about 13 million throughout the day. That's why at the peak, 19.8 million people were watching. Incredible lead-in for 60 minutes, as it's always ends up being a tradition unlike any other. So Rory then, in the playoff, little drama, gets the birdie right away, and then very euphoric. Ken Griffey Jr. there to take some of the most beautiful pictures you've ever seen, 100% skill-based. And then Rory goes to the ground, emotional, hugs a bunch of people. That shot where it was like right in his face, really, the only other time you see that shot, because it looked like a movie. I mean, it looked like a movie in the framing. It looked like the movie in the camera they were using. The only other time you really see a camera in that guy's face for that long is like when a wrestler makes his long entrance at WrestleMania. Because it's on TV, it's great, but it's weird. There's just a guy with a huge camera in front of this dude's face. And then he's hugging his family and he's hugging his buddies and Shane Lowry, who is from Ireland, he's hugging him. He says, I got to go get my green jacket. The crowd cheers. He gets it on. He puts it on. Scottie Scheffler puts it on him and then like runs out of there. But it was a made-for-TV thing, a made-for-TV moment. It was a big event that delivered. You know, I always say everything needs to be the best thing ever. Super Bowl wasn't that great. March Madness wasn't really good until the Final Four. The college football playoff was kind of lacking. This was great. This was A-plus television on really a made-for-TV thing. And it was with a guy who we've rooted for a long time, but also has made more fans along the way for how he's been very vocal about the disaster that's happened to golf, which is LIV Golf, which is another company or whatever they are coming in, tearing the game apart, spending a bunch of money on the golfers, and then not delivering a good product at all, not seeming like they care about the product at all. So you had Bryson, who had left against Rory, PGA guy. Eventually, it became Rory versus Rory more than, you know, anything else. But just a really great moment, really exciting to see. And he was able to get it done. Thank God, really. I just would have felt very bad, and I didn't want to have to go through the coverage or listen and watch the coverage of, like, this would have been such a bad choke that even when you're not affected, you feel it. Like, if you don't even like golf, you would have been talking about, man, I couldn't imagine blowing it like that in my life. It'd been terrible. You know how we always say, like, the Warriors had a 3-1 lead? You blew a 3-1 lead against the Cavs? This would have been the new that. Oh, it's like blowing a 2-stroke lead at the Masters. This would have been the new that. So Rory got it done, got the green jacket, and forever a champion. Just the sixth guy ever to complete the career Grand Slam. Only six golfers have ever done it. The one you can name off the top of your head, of course, Gene Sarazen. Also, Ben Hogan, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and Rory McIlroy. So what this does for his Masters legacy is one thing. What this has done for his overall legacy in golf, I mean, if he's not on the Mount Rushmore, he's on the second Mount Rushmore, just based on this alone. Now, he's got to win more majors to get there, but this was a huge, huge victory for Rory McIlroy, who is tied for 15th all-time in majors victories. You know, there's a bunch of guys that he's got five. There's a bunch with six, seven. He could get up to eight. He's only 35. Jack's got 18. Tiger's got 15. Walter Hagen's got 11. Hogan and Player have nine. Tom Watson, eight. Handful of guys with seven. Rory's with five, with plenty of golf to play in his career. But this certainly puts him into a class above anybody else. Phil Mickelson does not have the career Grand Slam. That might be the next thing. Phil's won the Masters three times. He's won the PGA twice. He's won the Open Championship once. And he's taken second at the U.S. Open seven times.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. And then insane. 99, 02, 04, 06, 09, 2013. Jeez. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It's Rory McIlroy, a dream come true, winning the Masters at Augusta this weekend. Several more dreams about to be realized in a week and a half at the NFL Draft to be held in Green Bay, Wisconsin. NFL Draft Preview. Brought to you by Ego, tools that deliver or exceed the power and performance of gas without the noise, fuss, and fumes for any outdoor challenge. Count on Ego. Tools to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. Ego, power beyond belief. We found out today who will be there in Green Bay. Who will be there to possibly accept being on stage when he's drafted number one? Cam Ward will be there, quarterback out of Miami. What about some of these other top picks? Potentially Abdul Carter, Penn State, defensive end. Travis Hunter, two-way guy, Colorado, there and there in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Not there, Shedeur Sanders. We already knew he was not coming. That was announced, but he is made it official as he is not on the list that the NFL provided. Jalen Milroe and Jackson Dart, however, will be there. That's interesting because what has Uncle Bart been saying? My hot take. Four quarterbacks drafted in round one. I think that Cam Ward goes one. I think Shedeur does go relatively high. I think Dart slips in there with Pittsburgh, and I think somebody trades up to take another quarterback. Now, who will that be? I don't know. But Jalen Milroe seems confident enough to at least go. I would go. If I even thought that I'm not getting drafted until the third round, but if I knew I was going to be a day two guy, I'm going. Life's about experiences, my friends. And it's probably all well and paid for, so you're going to be able to go wherever you'd like. They're going to have a lot easier time than I will at the draft. I was just looking at some of the different traffic jams and closures and situations, and I think it's just going to be an utter mess, and that's why I want to be there. I want to see the congestion and be a part of it. I want to be a part of the traffic. Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated, made a bit of noise, or at least his reporting's been picked up a little bit regarding Shedeur, because he could not go and still get drafted two or three. But if he isn't drafted at three, that suddenly the whole coverage is focused on him. We're seeing him on the draft room. We saw it with Rodgers. We saw it with Will Levis. We saw it with these guys where they're there and then they don't get drafted. And it's just like, okay, this is getting uncomfortable. Albert Breer reporting says, I'm having a really hard time finding coaches or scouts who believe Sanders is a first-round talent. This, by the way, separate from any issue anyone has with his personality. Those questions exist, but lots of teams have made exceptions in that department in the past to take on guys with special talents. The problem seems to be that too many folks don't think Sanders has those type of gifts. I'll continue. What I'm hearing, and this has nothing to do with anyone having an issue or wanting for him to fall so they can draft him, sure, is that he isn't a great athlete on tape, doesn't have exceptional arm talent, and too often does things that simply won't translate to the NFL game. I still feel, from my personal watching of the games, that Sanders has a lot of abilities that I don't believe you can coach. I believe that he is clutch in many ways. I believe he's very accurate. I've watched games where I thought Colorado was dead in the water and have came back, and sometimes even to win. A lot being because of the offense that was being run by Shedeur Sanders. So I still believe he gets drafted relatively high. Now, who would that be to? The Bartometer did the mock draft last week, and the Bartometer took Shedeur Sanders to go number three to the New York Giants. Carlos, are they working him out again? Is that what I'm hearing? Because this seems contradictory to all the stuff that Albert Breer was transcribing.
Yes, I saw a report earlier today. I'll actually try to pull it up so I'm not, you know, just speaking it into existence or trying to will it into the ether. But I did see the Shedeur Sanders and the Giants are going to have a private workout. I'm not sure when that was supposed to be. I'm trying to look for it now. I believe it was Thursday, but I'd be foolish to say.
It's Thursday.
It is Thursday. Thank you, Marco.
So where are you guys at on this? Carlos, I've talked to you a little bit. Marco, where are we at on Shedeur?
For the Giants? No, I have no interest. Thank you.
Do you like another guy better? Or you just?
I love Cam Ward, but that's not going to happen. So no. For the Giants, look, I'm not a big Shedeur Sanders guy for me. I don't think the lack of athletic ability, his lack of ability to extend plays, and the fact that he doesn't have a cannon for an arm, so I'm getting a pocket passer who is smart, who's learned it from the crib. So that part of it I like, but doesn't have elite talents in that regard. And I'm asking him to be a quarterback from 1997. I feel like the game has changed and I'm not willing to do that with the third pick when he's still got other deficiencies. So for me, no. I think for the Giants, I would like to see them go for a more high ceiling, but risk in the either late first round if you trade back in or in the second round. And the guy I'm eyeing is Jalen Milroe.
Yeah, Milroe, he's going to be there. He's going to be in Green Bay. He's going to go to the draft. So he must think that, you know, something good is going to happen, if not on night one. And, you know, these guys don't have to ditch out on Thursday. One thing that I thought was weird is that at the spring game this coming weekend, Colorado is retiring the number two for Shedeur and the number 12 for Travis Hunter.
Oh, come on.
Now, Hunter won the Heisman. That's one thing. Shedeur, I don't know. I feel like I've been talking about Shedeur, and it's like, oh, should he be a top three pick? And I'm like, absolutely. And then, hey, Colorado's retiring his number. I'm like, that Shedeur Sanders? I don't know about that. So we'll see what happens there. By the way, since you're here, I wanted to tell you, Marco, specifically as a fellow dad, not a dad's corner, but mm-hmm. a fellow dad.
Thank you for telling me that.
I am playing hurt today because I don't know what happened, but we had a little park situation, and somehow I accidentally found myself in a game of 2-on-2 basketball with other men my age.
With your children?
No.
Or actual just men, 2-on-2.
Two dads versus two dads. We played a game of basketball.
Was this to avoid having to punch out the other dad? Because my dad is stronger than your dad, and my dad can beat up your dad?
This was one of the dads brought a basketball, and one of the dads said 2-on-2, And then by the next second you knew it, I was playing two-on-two basketball. And I say playing injured because, stamina-wise, I thought I held up. We lost. My team lost. I'm a born loser. But I did make a nice steal. But on that steal, I jammed my ring finger so bad to the point where I had to go buy a splint to, like, keep it steady. I can really hardly bend it still. It's very swollen and very, like, purple. And yesterday, I also had to put a glove on because my hand was freezing because I was losing circulation to my finger. So,
yeah, I don't really feel bad for you. I got to be fair. I feel like the only thing that you haven't done that you should do is almost like, you know, I don't want to advocate violence, but I feel like whoever this father was that brought this up should have, like, you should grab a bar of soap, rope it up into a towel, and you should all take turns and beat him. This is like the Gomer pile. I feel like all of you dads that were dumb enough to get involved in this game, the other three, should really go after this one man to say, what the hell are you doing? We're old. Someone's going to get it. And it's not a question of getting hurt, possibly. Someone's seriously going to get hurt here. Every single one of you are all going to get hurt. It's just a question of where, when, and how.
And now the two dads that won have been very, like, you know, they keep rubbing it in our other guy's face.
Oh, they want to chirp, but in the meantime, they can't walk to their car because they each have a pulled hamstring. I mean.
Now, I'll tell you something else that's been, because I said it was my ring finger, so my wedding ring won't fit on my hand right now. And I'm telling you, I walked around town a little bit today. These ladies were giving me peeps that I haven't gotten before.
No, they weren't. Yeah, calm down,
they
Barry.
I walked by this one lady who was out gardening. Must have been 65. She looked at me like I was the freshest little piece of meat in town. I'm telling you.
Could it have been the fact that your finger was going to rot off and she was looking at that it's turned green?
Right, those
and
are looks of concern.
Yeah. You can also see my giant purple hand coming from six blocks away. You're right. Maybe that was it. All right. Well, I just accidentally wound up in a game of basketball and somehow lived to tell about it. So that's.
You do
that's
see this good. Father still? You're going to see him again?
Honestly, I kind of want a rematch.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you got to do it. You got to cross him over. You got to put him on a poster.
What you need to do is wrap up a bar of soap in a towel and catch him from behind and clock him in the back. Not that I advocate violence, but I feel like he deserves this.
I want to play again. I think I had fun.
Are you any good?
No.
No.
I can answer that. No.
No.
I've never met you. No.
I know. But I don't know if I was the weaker link on the team
not.
I think we were both kind of bad. And the other guys weren't good either.
You know what? Play this game. Get the rematch. I look forward to the conversation that we have when you pop your Achilles. I'm going to look forward to it.
Four plays in like Rodgers.
Yeah. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Pagese, right wing for the win! Yes!
The biggest voices in sports.
He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants.
The heartbreak.
And he misses it. That's impossible.
The celebrations.
Got him swinging. That's it. It's a win.
It's the audio of the game. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
The Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show. It is Monday, April 14th, 2025. And there's obviously a bunch of big stories that are coming off the weekend. Rory winning the Masters. And I was going to play that. And we will get to Rory a little bit later and guess what they said. There's plenty to hear from in terms of the Masters. But we start with the Chicago Cubs, Bart. Pete Crow Armstrong, two home runs against the Dodgers yesterday and a 4-2 win. This is coming off of the heels of the Cubs whipping that L.A. ass 16-0. Cubs take the series 2 out of 3 games. Here's your boy, PCA, on the Cubs winning a big series over L.A.
I don't want to say we're rising to the occasion because I have, you know, full confidence that we are just that as well. But, you know, coming in here and taking them down for 2 out of 3 is great. you know, that's what we come in here to do, especially after dropping game one, being able to come back the next 2 days and do what we did, you know, that's a huge boost for us going into San Diego for sure.
Not thrilled we're leading with the Cubs here.
We're short on time.
So I saw that game last night because there was nothing else on. And I had already rewatched Rory highlights enough. But then I didn't realize Cubs fans were like ripping on him. So he's been pretty bad this year, huh? Outside of last night.
Yeah, he hasn't found his stride yet. Defensively, he's pretty good, but like, yeah, at the plate, he's like flailing.
He improved his average from 197 to 229.
Does have 7 homers on the year, though.
He's got 2 homers on the year.
Oh, I saw 7 next to his thing. I'll look at the box score again.
Those are RBIs.
Yeah, well, all right, fine. You know what I mean.
If he had 7 homers, who does have the most home runs in the league?
It's got to be a Yankee.
Yeah, you. I'll look that up. You play the next thing.
I certainly will, because the big news in terms of the NBA landscape is another
Shohei coach. Just hit one. Is he up there? That's his 5th.
Oh, Cubs, by the way, over to Padres 3-1, if anybody cares, elder than me. Another coach gets let go. This one was a lot more expectedly, considering the disaster that the Phoenix Suns had this season. They missed the playoffs. So here's Mike Budenholzer, who just got canned yesterday. He says this past season was extremely rough.
You know, a season like this is not easy for anybody. I'm human. You know, I think had high expectations, and you know, there's a level of frustration. But I'm just like everybody else. You know, we want to be better. We need to be better. So, regardless of, you know, anybody's circumstances or where they come from or what they're coming back to, we got to be better.
That's so funny. That's all he ever says. We had whole bits on it during the lead up to the Bucks title run. I got to be better. We need to be better. I got to be better. That's all he ever says. He said it 3 times in just the 5 last seconds of that clip. Yeah, he got fired and he's still getting paid. We got to get into that in a little bit here. By the way, there are 7 players with 6 home runs. Jazz Chisholm, Tommy Edman, Wilmer Flores, Aaron Judge, Kyle Schwarber, Tyler Soderstrom, and Mike Trout. How about that?
Good list, although I don't know who that 6th guy is at all.
Athletics.
You could have put a gun to my head. I had no idea. Huge story in college football, I guess. Tennessee's moving on from their starting quarterback. Head coach Josh Heupel discussed why Tennessee is going to be moving on from Nico. I've pretty much completely given up on saying his last name properly. I butchered it 6 times on the updates. Go back on Saturday on the Free Odyssey app if you want to hear me ridicule myself. Iamaliava is his last name.
I think I'm it's just not... Iamaliava.
All right, well, I'm not saying it fast.
Nico Iamaliava.
Here's why they're moving on from Nico.
We're moving forward as a program without him. You know, I said it to the guys today. There's no one that's bigger than the power team, and that includes me. And they hear me say that a lot inside of that team room. This program has been around for a long time with a lot of great coaches, a lot of great players that came before that laid the cornerstone pieces, and the legacy, the tradition that is Tennessee football. It's going to be around a long time.
You're the producer of this show. We started with Rory. Should I start next hour with NBA playoffs and the Budenholzer firing, or should I start with the NIL drama here with Nico?
I would get into the NIL because it happened earlier, and then we can move the NBA into our third hour.
All right, we could do some NIL. People like ripping on college kids.
So common theme. We'll sneak one last one in here. The World Baseball Classic is on the horizon. Team USA has a brand new captain. No surprise, it's Aaron Judge.
It's something special, you know, getting a chance to represent our country. You know, I kind of said earlier this morning, just thinking about all the brave men and women that have fought for this country and, you know, laid their lives down for us to get a chance to go out here, and especially me get a chance to go out here and play a game. You know, it's a pretty humbling experience. So it's just happy to represent the U.S. and, you know, happy to be your captain.
The World Baseball Classic is good. I like it.
I like it too.
A good thing. Are they going to do the thing where they like have half the games in Miami and then half in Japan again, or what are they doing?
Good question. I believe they do rotate where the locations are. I'll pull that up in the break here.
Oh, I got it. So in 2026, we're going to see the World Baseball Classic. It is going to be held in San Juan.
I'm in there. I got to go down there.
Houston, Tokyo, and Miami will have the different pools. So I don't know that they ever, like, not host this thing in America. I feel like that's, it's not like it's the World Cup where one year it's going to be in Uruguay, you know. San Juan's going to have Puerto Rico, Cuba, Canada, Panama, and Colombia involved. You're going to go?
I'm all in.
Should we go to that too as buddies?
You know what? If you want to get some color for sure.
I get a sunburn pretty easily. SPF 250. We'll be back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.